You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. And, you know, I always say that at the beginning of the show in case somebody's saying, well, who is this? Is it Starscast or Natalie? It's both. That's my, you could call it my stage name, I guess. But anyways, we have another wonderful guest. Wait till I bring her on. But first I want to tell you, the magazine is up. The April issue is up. It's a phenomenal one. It's got a lot to do with the pandemic. I have some authors who sent me stuff last minute. Publicists sent me stuff last minute. Natalie, can you put this in? Can you put this in? Well, you know, I have one more thing to do tonight yet in it, and I everybody knows I just love what I do, so it's okay. But go see it at mysticlivingtoday.com. And you can view everything there, and you can go into the Akashic Bookstore, which are, there's a link right on the site, and it links you to usually to any of the guests that I have, or if I'm in communication with a publicist and they send me a book, and I get excerpts and articles, and it's a continuation. I mean, it's a relationship that goes on and on and on with these people, and it's really wonderful. I have somebody from India, and there's a man from China who writes poetry, and we talked about his family in Wuhan. Believe it or not, he said they're okay. So, and also I want to tell everybody, please be safe. Please follow the guidelines. Stay home if you can. I know most states are saying, you know, everybody knows I'm in South Carolina. They're not even saying here, it's mandatory you stay home. But it really should be. This is not going to go away unless we do something drastic. And I've been home. Granted, I work from home, so it's not so hard for me. But I was out 3 weeks ago Saturday. I went to Savannah with my friends. And I was kind of worried after that because I thought, you know, Savannah's a huge city. 1 million people live there. But I was fine. I haven't gotten anything. But I go outside. I sit on my porch. I keep myself really super busy. There's a lot of things online to do. You can go play games. Sometimes I go to Pogo, P-O-G-O.com. It's free. You can play games there till the sky falls. I mean, there's no limit. You know, it's fun. You can get a paid version if you want, but I've been going to that site for 12 years, so that's one of my little things that I'm not really hooked on, but in times when I kind of say, well, what can I do now? You know, and you can't keep watching TV all day. No, you can't do that. That's not healthy. You've got to be productive, but do be safe and take care of those around you and the elderly. My son doesn't allow me to go anywhere. Mom, no, you're not doing that. Can't I go in your truck and go to the drugstore, go to Walgreens to pick up my meds? No, I'll get them. but that, I'm blessed with that. It's just wonderful. Really, I don't mind, but I do want to go for a ride. Somebody want to give me a ride? Anyways, and also go to stars with a Z, psychics.com. You know, the staff has been wonderful. Periodically now you'll find that I'll give people extra five minutes. I didn't change the rates at all because I really didn't think it would matter. But don't be surprised if you see a little note from the Stars Fairy, that's me, that I gave you 5 minutes. Just top your minutes off or whatever. I will do that also. But we have good specials, 10 minutes for $10. And there's other things going on there. You know, read the blog. I do the blog post. It's supplied to me by Jackie. She does my content. And I'm going to thank Candy right off the top because Candy does all my videos. And she's in the chat room right now if you want to go there and chat with her. She sets it all up. And she's like a dream. I mean, I don't think I could hire somebody as good as her. But she loves me. And Jackie loves me. And there's a lady listening that loves me and probably a lot of people. You know, they're my champions. That's what I call them, my champions. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my guest on tonight, and you will hear her story. We've already talked a little bit. Her name is Mary Odgers. Is that right, or is it Odgers?
Odgers. You said it right the first time.
Odgers. Okay, good. Awesome. Okay, Mary is an author. She's a registered nurse of 25 years, a life coach, and she's a grief coach counselor. And we were just talking about divine order. Everything, I mean, she probably understands a lot of what's going on with all of these healthcare people and all of that. But we were talking about that this was like perfect timing. But we do know that everything is perfect timing. I mean, if you know me well enough, you know that that's what I believe in, and divine order. That's what her and I were discussing before we went live on the air. So, Mary, how are you tonight? And now that I've talked 25 minutes, no, I haven't. Well, how are you tonight? Good? Are you good?
I'm doing great. I'm just really happy to be here, Natalie.
Oh, me too. Can you hear in her voice, everybody? She's so sweet. I already told her I loved her. I just do. And I bet you she's a real hugger, even though we can't hug right now. But never fear, we'll be doing that again. We'll be doing that again. But she's that kind of person that you just want to grab hold of because you're hoping some of her rubs off on you. And so tell me about how this got all started. You started off, you were, I won't say an Army brat. You were, a Marine brat?
Right. My dad was in the Marine Corps.
Okay. And so you lived everywhere, right?
Pretty much
all over the place.
Everywhere, and a lot of places twice. There were a lot of addresses before I left home, before I got married at 21. I had lived 20 places, 20 different addresses. And,
wow.
Yeah, it was an interesting life. It kind of made me learn how to adapt. I didn't know how much I would be needing that.
Exactly. And so now, did you know then that you wanted to become a nurse?
No. That's not really true. I knew I wanted to do something in the medical profession, and I was thinking of dental hygienist, and I was taking the prereqs that would fit both of those. And
okay.
When I got married, we moved away from California, and so I postponed it. And when I went back to school after I had my children, it was a terrible time to go back to school, but I was determined, and I just chose nursing. My mother had been a nurse.
Ah, and I bet you're just like her.
In a lot of ways,
I bet, yeah.
It's a compliment.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My mother had no education, really. I mean, she had to leave school. There was 10 in her family. She was the oldest. And I think she always resented that. I don't know what her aspirations were, but I think she wanted to be more as she grew older. But without any knowledge, she became the first insurance adjuster in Michigan. A woman, insurance adjuster.
Well,
she had a lot. Yeah, she was a file girl. She started off as a file girl. I mean, and that's far from, if I told you my background, you'd probably say, oh, my God. But, and her boss said to her, you're not just a file girl. Well, you know, my mother had a lot of courage, had a lot of ability. That was just, she was just born with it. She didn't go to school now. She didn't even finish. I think she started high school, and then she had to drop out to help the family. So, you know, I always said she was born ahead of her time. She could have been in politics. That's the kind of woman she was. Very strong, forthright, she was Italian, very, not pushy, but you knew when she said something, she meant it. And, you know, so I didn't follow in her footsteps at all. Not at all. But she was a leader, but I guess I am too, if you want to look at it like that. Okay, so you became a nurse after you had your children, right?
Right.
Okay, and then what occurred after that? I mean, you ended up back in California?
I came back to California with, I left in 1979 and I came back in 1989 with three children. And we built a house. My husband and I built a house and had a really nice life. It was country living. And in 2007, we have wildfires out here. I'm sure you've seen them on the news.
Oh, yeah. Nasty. Yes. Devastating.
Yeah, we watched this. Watched the smoke all day long and didn't feel like we were in the path of danger until a half hour before the fire came onto our property and burned our house. The wind changed and that there's nothing you can do about that. We drove away and the fire was headed toward our house, and the next morning we found out everything was gone.
It must have been, I mean, were you able to get some things out, like some pictures or anything?
Yes, my son and I, one of my three sons and I were there by ourselves, and we packed up laundry baskets. That's a good way to carry things. And we
yes.
took some photos and some, you know, jewelry and my grandmother's silver, and we
what you
really
could
didn't
grab.
Get any
yep.
clothes or anything. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was traumatic when we found out, but then we also found that we had really good fire insurance, and we, you know, it was hard. It was hard, but it was, we knew we could rebuild. We knew we could move on with our lives, and we were all in it together, the five of us. We were all in
yeah.
it together. There's something about having that kind of support that it made such a difference.
It did. It did. And, you know, I know the fires, the wind can change so quick, and it's just like somebody's lighting a match to everything. I mean, it's just, there's no stopping it.
There's
no stopping it. Yes, it's just like water. It's very
right.
powerful. And, you know, here I am in South Carolina, we get hurricanes, but
right.
I've never been through, we only had to evacuate once. But, you know, there are areas that it's just, you just can't stop it. I mean, all you can do is grab what you can and hope that you got the things that you would really want and go. Where did you go? I mean, how far away did you go?
We went about 10 miles from our house. We went west 10 miles toward our house, and then the police came to the door in the middle of the night. We were at some friend's house. And they asked us to evacuate further to the coast. And so we drove to the coast and just waited till the sun came up. We checked into one of the few hotel rooms that were left. And the next morning we started, you know, there were a lot of phone calls. Did anybody know anything? All the people that evacuated. And finally, one of the neighbors called me and said that our house was gone.
I bet you your heart just sunk, right?
Well, it really did. You just, you know, it was you felt numb.
Yeah. You know, I just can only tell you when I had to leave my house, but I knew my house was going to be okay. I'm high on the properties in the sub. Matter of fact, they told me I had the highest lot. Don't ask me how I got that one. I don't know, but
yeah,
I am.
Blessed.
Yeah. Oh yes. But my son picked me up, and we had to go west because I'm in South Carolina. So we had to go west. I'm about maybe 10 minutes from the ocean, but it didn't matter. Near the ocean or not, the rain was coming down so heavy, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. You would have thought you had a tsunami coming at you, but of course it wasn't. But
mm-hmm.
I left. My son said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I think my house is going to be okay. I think my neighbor's house next door on the one side of me is going to be okay, and I think the one on the other side is going to be okay. He said, why? I said, because I just know. We drove away. We had to be away for like 4 or 5 days. And this is nothing of what you went through, but in comparison, I could have went back to nothing. Yeah, you have insurance, but people don't understand. You lost it all, you know, and it is devastating. And you, I guess you have to, like you said, you have to have support around you. So we came back home, and we you have to wait for everybody. You have to be let into your area. And my son said, "You've got that look again." I said, "Yeah, the house is okay."
Mm.
Put holes in the drive, and it was fine.
Mm.
A little bit of water in my garage. Neighbor had a little bit of water in her garage. Next door, same thing. Across the street, flooded totally. It totally destroyed all the houses on the other side of the street and down for my two friends, two neighbors, but not our three. I knew. I just knew. And so I was nervous when we were going back, but I really wasn't. But you knew. I mean, that's, I can only imagine. And how do you pick up the pieces? Mary, how do you, you stayed in a hotel, and I think everybody should know this because there's always fires in California. There was one, what, back in the fall or something, or summer? Last year?
Well, yeah, we have something in Southern California. We always have something pretty much every year. Sometimes it gets out of control, and that's when the country hears about it.
Yeah, and so did you rebuild, or what did you do?
No, we didn't rebuild. We moved down into the coastal, in the north coastal area, and there was some interesting aspects to there's interesting aspects to a lot of things that happen that you don't really foresee. And one of the things that happened at the time our house burned down was the outpouring of so much generosity and so much caring, I can't even tell you. And there was a woman who offered her condominium to us. She said, "Take it for free." She normally rented it out. She said, "Take it for free for a week and decide what you want to do." And we stayed there. So it was really it was a kind move because she was having trouble renting it. And we just started. We applied for a FEMA number, and we started talking to everybody and meeting with individuals who were knowledgeable from previous fires. And we found out that our insurance, we really had good insurance. We were well covered. And there's something about that that I think made the difference in my attitude anyway, that it was, we just felt like we were going to be okay. And yeah, there was a lot of sadness, and you know, we had holidays just 2 months later, and we had nothing. All the things that make your family a family.
Yep.
Well, you think it's all the things, but it wasn't. We had Christmas, the five of us, in a 500-square-foot, two-bedroom condo. And if everybody was, you know, half of us had to stay on the couch so there was room to stand up. And we walked around town, and we had such, it was just a beautiful, beautiful Christmas.
Sometimes, there are things that happen that turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Sometimes it's to show you something, you know. I was fortunate, but I had friends who, you know, if you lived along the coast here, it didn't matter whether your home was on stilts or not. That water is so powerful, it'll come and just knock it off. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And but the area comes together. It really, really does. And I was hoping to hear that from you, that it was the same. And I'm assuming you're in the Los Angeles area somewhere. And I don't know.
San Diego.
San Diego?
Yes. Yeah, just a couple hours south of Los Angeles.
Yeah, my son was there last summer. Oh, God, he loved it. He just loved it.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we're going to move on a little bit here. So you got through that. Then what transpired afterwards? I mean, you had some things happen to you, and we don't have to discuss too much of it, but you are a grief counselor, and a lot of people are going through that right now, and I hope they're listening. Candy put that on your little one liner at the top that that's what you are. You're a grief coach, because I was hoping that people would tune in to learn how to handle things when something happens. I mean, and look what's happening all over the United, all over the world, all
right.
over the world.
It's just it's unfathomable.
Well, it really, really is. But you probably feel like I do, that because we were talking about unbelievable faith, it will be okay. I'm not happy about people dying. I am not at all. That's always bothered me, no matter how old you are, no matter how young, doesn't matter. I don't understand that process, and I guess I'm not supposed to. But I think, you know, some people, just the fact that they're stuck in the house for 2 weeks, they don't, what do I do? Well, you have to make do, right? You have to, I told them about games online and read and do the things that you never had time for. And if you happen to be in a state like I am, where it's in the 80s, go sit outside and listen to those birds and listen to it all, and you're going to say to yourself, the world really does not stop. There really is hope. Yeah. Look at all the life out there. And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And I do it every day. I make a habit of going out every day because I am stuck in the house. I could walk, but it's not the same. You know, I'm just going to lunch with my one girlfriend, and we would do that once a week, and it was fun. And, well, okay. So you put that off for a while, right? It's okay.
Right.
It'll be okay. So you ended up, did you end up building another house or just buying one?
No. About a week before the one-year anniversary, my husband passed away. He committed suicide. And that's kind of where the book begins, with the house. But the house, I realized, was kind of just a setup for just the tragedy of,
mm-hmm.
he lost his life, and then within 6 weeks, my father passed away from complications of quadriplegia. He had been in a car accident in August of that year, and it was October, and then he died in December. And then the saddest part was that my 20-year-old son, he was a week away from his 21st day, he followed his dad in suicide, saying that he missed his grandfather too much and he couldn't live another day without his dad. So that ended our first year, you know, in the new place that we were. And we hadn't made any decisions about building or not. But when my husband passed, I knew I would not rebuild up there. And so it took me about a year and a half, but I found a place down at the coast. And, you know, it's just a wonderful life, I have to say. It took a while to warm up to it. Of course, I still miss where we used to live, and I miss the people and just the wonderful atmosphere I raised my kids in. But this feels like home now.
Now, you're further south now, but you're in San Diego or near there, right?
Yeah, I'm just in a different part of the county now. It's the beach, whereas we lived up kind of in the foothills of the mountain,
okay.
More country
yeah.
living.
And I want to tell everybody, your book is called Six Funerals and a Wedding.
Right.
And it came out on March 17th, so it is brand new. Okay, so was it then that you knew you had to write? Or
well,
did you work?
You know,
tell me about how.
I
want to know how you stepped out, not stepped out of it, how you took one foot and moved forward. How... You know, I just walked around. But mine was nothing like yours, nothing like yours. For everybody, it's different, I know. But so did you go to work? Did you tell us a little bit how you started?
Well, I did. And I also want to say, Natalie, that's one of the things that I learned immediately, that it seems like maybe other people have it worse than you do. But the truth is, grief is unpredictable and it hurts. And we can lose our beloved pet, or we can lose our home to a fire, or we can lose a best friend because life took us in different directions. We do grieve, and grieving, it always hurts. And I know, you know, I know my story, but I've even heard worse than my story. And I think it's important to know that whatever your grief is, it's bad. I mean, if you say it's bad, it's bad. I think that's the best way to say it. If you think it's difficult, it's because it's difficult. And as a mother and a wife, I wasn't thinking in terms of that at the time. I just felt devastated, and I felt like I was a stranger in my own life. And I do have tremendous faith. I always have, and I consider that a gift that I got when I was a little girl. I was just absolutely thrilled and intrigued by the concept of God, and it's never left me, but it certainly has changed a lot, and it's grown in the last 12 years. And you asked about writing. And I have never written a book, but I've written tons of poetry. It was more like a way for me to express myself. And
right.
I've journaled my whole life. Maybe I didn't call it journaling, but I found if I put things on paper, they made sense in a different way. And I talked a lot to, oh God, anybody who would talk to me, trying so hard
anybody
to feel better.
Anybody who would listen and talk, right? yeah,
that's right. And also, you know, they say when people commit suicide, they take all the answers with them. And that's the way I felt. What in the world was going on here? I didn't suspect anything, although my husband did have depression. But I just started talking to everybody, went to seminars, went to therapists, went to ministers, just everybody and friends. And what I started hearing was other people could benefit from your experiences.
Yes.
And yes. I thought, okay. And I always take notes. I always took notes no matter where I was. And I started compiling the notes in a way that I could draw from them if I ever did decide to write a book. And I was moved to do it, to start it in 2016, and I put it away twice, but I knew I would finish it. I knew there would be an ending. And in 2018, I hired an editor, and we worked together for a little over a year. And March 17th, 2020, on St. Patrick's Day, Patrick was my youngest son. That's why I chose that day. The book was born.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, I didn't journal. I did a lot of daydreaming. I did a lot of creativity in my head.
Right.
And I still do it to this day. That's probably how I got through my childhood and later on. I have, and I still have the ability to kind of step into another world, if need be. And maybe it's just a mechanism that I have that protected me because, you know, you and I were talking. You know, my parents died less than 5 months apart from each other, and I did not cry at all.
Mm.
My dad. I was pretty close to my dad. I mean, he gave me his love of planes. I love airplanes, and I've always wanted to fly. But anyways, he was the one that seemed to, cuddle me more. Now, you got to remember, my mother came from a big family, mm-hmm. and she just had me, and she wanted to work, and that's exactly what she did. That's why I said she could have been a politician. No, it would have been no problem for her. No problem. And,
right.
you know, but by the same token, you said to me it was sad, but it was, but when I was growing up, it wasn't sad to me. It was my normal.
Hmm.
It was okay for me. I read a lot. I didn't get help with homework. I wasn't encouraged anything. I probably could have been a doctor. That's how smart I am. But nobody ever told me what I could do, what I couldn't do. And it was a time, that time period, where girls were not encouraged to do that. You were supposed to get married and have a family, and that was your life.
Right.
And you would have thought my mother would have encouraged me to do that because she didn't have that. But she didn't do that with me because she was too concerned with her own. She was very successful, very loved and very successful in the insurance industry. She was like godmother in the insurance industry because she was an adjuster. When I'm telling you she was the godmother, she was the godmother. That's how strong and powerful she was in that company. And she was content to stay where she was. But I guess I was kind of off to the side somewhere, you know, and I used to go to the airport with my dad every Saturday and watch the planes land and take off. And I quizzed everybody. I probably drove everyone nuts there because I was so curious, you know. I found something that I loved and my dad loved it. Oh, my. My friends were at home playing with dolls and I was going to watch the airplanes. You know, it didn't bother me at all. So
no.
I don't know. I think, too, Mary, I think we kind of step along and things happen in front of us. And it really, I want to say it takes a lot to survive, like for you and in my own way, for me and many, many others. I don't know what the secret is. I have no clue. And you probably don't know either. One, people say, well, stay busy. Well, stay busy, but my mind is still wandering around. I mean, I have three monitors at home. I can do work on three monitors, and I can talk on the phone, and I can write at the same time. I mean, there's no stopping because you train yourself. Maybe I was doing that when I was a little girl, and I didn't even know it. I was training myself, you know. But, like, for you,
Don't you think with grief, that it can be a lot to deal with because of its unpredictability and how it's not the same. You don't grieve for your mother the way you grieve for your husband, the way you grieve for your child.
Oh, I didn't grieve for my husband either.
Yeah, it can be it can be so different. But I think that we do make our way back and we can keep ourselves busy, but the truth is keeping busy just puts it aside for the time being. And
that's right.
I felt that if I was about 2 years into it and I would wake up in the morning and the second, it must have only been like a half a second between knowing you're awake and knowing who you are and what your life is, kind of. And I used to say that was the best half second of my entire
life.
That
was the etheric. It's called the etheric.
Of my day.
You're not
quite
awake,
right.
but you can hear. It was the affair.
Yeah.
That's when I hear
and,
everything. That's just at that point, yeah.
Yeah. And when I woke up that morning, I thought, I can't keep praying about the same things. I just can't keep asking God to help me to find happiness and to, you know, have an open heart to life. I can't keep doing that. And I thought, but what can I do? And I just had a thought, and you can say it was, you know, it was intuition maybe, and it said, use me for your purposes. And I thought, maybe that's what I have to do. You become very self-absorbed when all these things are happening. Rightfully so. You've lost so much. All you can do is think about yourself. But I got the message that start thinking about others and what they're going through, and I didn't know how that would look. And then when I started thinking about the book, I thought it's a great story, but
it is. I haven't read it yet, not all of it, but yeah.
It's in time. It's forgettable. But if I could somehow convey that I'm extraordinarily ordinary, I'm not a sports person, I mean like a sports star or a movie star or any of these people that tell their story and they're just so, people are just like, oh, wow. I'm just I was an ordinary woman, a mom and a nurse and a wife, and it fell apart. And what if I could tell people you can get through this? Make your own personal plan, but I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you how I saw it. And there's never a day when I don't feel sad to some degree, never a day. And if someone had said you'll never feel totally happy again, I would have hated that, but it's just so much easier to carry the sadness now that I've tried hard to connect with the world. I've tried hard to move along. I've tried hard to have the strength to find a place for my loss. And you keep trying, and it does come together eventually for all of us.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I started the one site. We were just developing it. It took a year and a half to do it with my webmaster. Even before I lost my husband, I mean, he wasn't quite as bad. I mean, so my webmaster could come over and we would meet every week, and it kind of took my mind off of something because I had to show him what I wanted and the colorization, the colors that I wanted. And so we worked on that. Then of course he couldn't come over anymore because my husband got violent, but we would still, you know, talk on the phone, and we would work online, and he would team view so we could chat that way. I think if it wouldn't have been for Stars, I mean, I had the magazine already, but it was nothing like it is today. I mean, it's big, you know. I mean, it became bigger, but I don't think if I had that, like you had, you wrote. You see what I'm saying? I just did something else. And I really
It really focused you. It focused you into doing good work.
Yes, it did.
It's really the same thing if you think about it. My good work came in the form of a book. Your good work was, you know, reaching people with your show.
With my show, because I did have the show, and I think Candy would correct me. It was 8 years old or 9 years old on Valentine's Day this year.
Oh,
and so,
awesome.
You know, so this all transpired in the same amount of time. And it was like I had people they weren't really dragging me, but they were, oh, why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? Oh, you can do this. You can do that. I mean, and I really never said no. And maybe it was instinctive on my end because it kept me so busy. And I was thinking ahead, like, oh, wow, this is going to be good. I'll be able to do this and this and this. And I think, like you're writing your book, and that's what did it for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I mean,
that's
I'm sure
good.
we can attest to that because it was the same time. And, you know, I think, like, and you are doing this for the world, just like I am. I mean, in a sense, we're the same. You're just using the written word. I'm just using the digital world, if you want to call it like that. I, you know, reaching out to people and corresponding with people and helping people and being the personal touch, and I love that. I mean, I've always been in customer service most of my life, except when I worked in a tennis club, and I did that there too. So, you see, I think it's like you're being guided along. Well, okay, here's Mary and here's Natalie. Now we got to get Mary doing something here. So I believe it's all divine order. It's all from above. And it doesn't matter what you believe in, and you don't have to believe in anything.
Right.
But I know what mine was like. And you can bet, I think the losing of your house was start. Don't you think, Mary? It was, but it didn't prepare you for anything.
No, not well. I'm not sure about that. I was absolutely blindsided. I left, but we had evacuated in years before, and I just everything. Maybe you protect yourself. And even when they told me my house burned, I was saying things like, "Okay, wait a minute. Do you know exactly which one is my house?" Yes. I do. I live across the street.
Second guessing everything you're hearing.
Yeah, I couldn't
right.
let it in. And the same with, you know, just it was, I just didn't think it would happen. And when it did, I would consider that traumatizing. I had dreams about
Very
it,
much
bad
so.
Dreams about it. Yeah. And then, because forever I'll speak in the terms of that compared to the other stuff. And to me, take my house, take everything I own, just leave me with my family. And
right.
that's why I think I don't consider that to be too painful. Once in a while I get a feeling, you know, when I think of something we used to have or something we used to use, you know, as a family, I get a little bit sad, but no, I have just.
And you still have two other children, right?
I do. I have a 38-year-old son, David, and a 35-year-old son, Matt.
Okay.
And they live in the San Diego area.
So they're close?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're close. They're not married, and so, you know, I see them as much as grown men want to come see their moms.
That's right. My son is like 6 minutes down the road, and you know, I don't have anybody in my life, and so, you know, sometimes I'll hear from him. Sometimes he'll stop by in the morning. Sometimes he'll stop by for lunch because he's got his own business, and so, you know, if I don't hear from him, and maybe he's home that day, like he worked today, but he was home, and I'll say, well, you know, you didn't call me. Well, Mom.
Oh, yeah, I know. And the boys love their moms so much, but it's not the same. You're not going to call and want to chat it up.
Oh, yeah, you know, he tells me all about his life, everything that's going on. I'm like one of his best friends, and his wife is his best friend, and she's wonderful. And I have a granddaughter, I am only 6 minutes away from him.
You're lucky, mom.
I am. No, I know that. I thank God
I'm
every
single
day.
I'm a lucky mom
day.
Too. I know.
You know,
I'm a lucky mom too. Oh.
Yes. See what happened for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now you haven't remarried.
I have.
Oh, okay.
In 2017, I had worked with a man since 2004, and in 2008, I became single, and he was single too from a divorce. And we just spent some time together. Really wasn't in any state of mind to want to meet somebody, but I had a lot of time on my hands. And I spent a lot of time with different people from work and friends, and he was one of them. And we just kind of forged a relationship that makes both of us very happy. And we had a nice ceremony on the 4th of July, which everybody laughed and said, that's supposed to be Independence Day. And we said, well, that's not our version.
It's fireworks.
And, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Fireworks. Great. So, you know, it's just
celebration.
Right. You can't replace what you had, but boy, you can start a new chapter that is, you know, to be in love again at 51 years old after being married to someone you loved for 30 years. You think, how's that going to be?
You think it's not
going to
happen,
end of
right?
that chapter. Well, I didn't have any expectations, but I knew a really, really enjoyable person to be around when I got to know him, and we just progressed from there.
It was awesome. Now, did he encourage you with your book? Of course he must have.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that I enjoyed about him and getting to know him is that he was encouraging about everything, and he saw wonderful things in me and encouraged me. And he's always very inquisitive. And he would ask me sometimes to the point of distraction, like, are you going to be wrapping this up anytime soon? And I'd say it has a mind of its own. I don't feel it's going to be quality if I force it. I could probably go upstairs and finish it right now. But I want it to be what my heart says needs to be on those pages. And I'm just taking my time.
Yeah.
And it was worth it. It was worth it.
Tell me, where did the name of the book come from?
My editor. I had a couple different names for the book. And she said, I thought of a name for you to consider. And when she told me, I thought it was kind of corny. I thought it had been done before. And it took me probably 6 months, and I didn't need to agree to it until the book went to final print. But I just said, it's just not for me. And finally she said, Mary, there is a way to do this, and I'm the expert, and you're the person writing the book, and you deserve to have what you want, but I'll tell you what works. And I said, okay, tell me what works. And as of today, just today, since January the 1st, there have been over 600,000 books published. So that tells you how many people are doing it. And she said, when they read on the front of a book, Grief Like No Other, or when they read the Living in the Comfort of Their Peace, she said, I promise you, Mary, they're beautiful, beautiful titles, but nobody's going to remember. Whereas when you say Six Funerals and a Wedding, people are going to go, oh, I think that was a movie.
Right.
And they
why,
will have
so why
lingered.
Why did you choose six? You didn't have six funerals.
Well, we did. And I considered that the house, I called the house a death for these purposes.
Okay.
It was over. And then next came Bruce, my husband, then my dad, and then Patrick, and then my brother died of a heart attack at 49 in his sleep, which was shocking. And then 3 months after my son died, my mom had a massive stroke and never spoke again. I never could have a conversation with her about any of this. We had a lot of good one-sided conversations where I felt better having my mom, but we didn't really get to talk before. And then she passed away from another stroke. And so within the period of, I guess, almost 6 years, not quite 6 years.
Now you have here that she harbored a dark secret. Can you tell us what that was?
Well, you know, yes, I can tell you, and I will tell you, but out of context of the book, it may not mean as much. But my mom never, ever gave any indications that she had been sexually abused by a neighbor when she was younger.
Okay.
And when she was older, she was a nurse, and she had been out of nursing for a while and went back and got a certification for drug and alcohol counseling. That drove her. And during the program, she had to journal. They want you to be good about anything that you have in you that is problematic. And she told the story. And it explained a lot about my mom. That's why I brought it up. It explained a lot about our family dynamics, how she reacted to things, and how, in a lot of cases, she didn't react to things that should have been reacted to. And it's all done, I will tell you, in a very loving way. I just, you know, miss her every day. I took the good with the bad, as we do with people we love. And I was always happy she was my mom.
Right.
But it was a very realistic way that I presented it, and how that was probably something that was a key element in how her life went, even though it happened a long time ago.
Wow. Now, the wedding, it's a six funerals at a wedding. The wedding was yours?
Mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your second marriage.
Right.
Now I get it. I mean, I knew it meant something. I mean,
Right. That was a turning point when we decided to call it Forever, and we didn't have anything legal about it on purpose. We both felt we came into the relationship with children of our own, and we would just kind of keep the separateness, and that was just kind of the way we did it. But that was kind of a turning point when I thought, the door really did close, or the door to the new chapter, I knew it was a new chapter and it was open, but when we did that, suddenly everything became ours instead of yours and mine.
Mm-hmm. The cover, I'm going to tell everybody what the cover is like. Is that you? Is that a picture of you or just a girl?
No, it's me.
Okay. Well, for those of you, it's called 16 Rules and a Wedding. You can go see it on Amazon, of course. She's standing, and it's ocean, and she's on a rocky, all kinds of rocks. I mean, it's like typical of something you'd see in California, okay? And I mean, you're dressed in black, but that doesn't resonate with me. What resonates with me is that you're looking out to what's out there, and that's what
yeah.
I like. Always told people, yeah, I really do, and I tell people what gets me to get a book. Well, of course, I don't have to buy any book anymore. I mean, I get them all the time, but is the cover and the feel of it. I had an author say to me, he says, why? I said, I don't know. I mean, if I'm looking at a bookshelf, if I went to Barnes & Nobles or wherever, okay, I would look at the cover and feel the book. Not even necessarily...
I guess I have to agree.
Not even necessarily the name of the book, although yours would be intriguing to me, but I would look at the cover and I see you looking out, away and out, almost like to the future. And
yep.
You're standing there solid. I mean, if you looked at covers of books, you figure it out. It's not that difficult. But I get so many books, I can't even tell you. But I would be drawn to your book because of the cover, and it probably feels good too. I'm hoping. I don't
yeah.
know. I don't have
yeah.
it. But I'm going to get it.
Good. Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna have Lauren send it to me.
I was going to say, I'll send it to you. I am happy to do that. It's such a pleasure being on your show and having you.
Oh, you're a
get
delight.
Word,
and
help
we,
me get the
you know,
word out
I,
there.
I told you before we went on the air that I really love you. I just think that you have done something phenomenal. You've written about it. Now, this is, it says here, oh, you were an acute care nurse. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Post anesthesia.
Okay. You don't still nurse, or you're not a nurse anymore, are you?
I am. I have an active license, and they called me 2 days ago and asked me if I would come in and work at a surgery center. And I just elected not to go. But no, I'm
you
not.
You have no desire to go, or?
Taking a chance, and it was an elective case. It wasn't a trauma or anything. It's someone trying to keep their practice going, and I totally admire that. And I'm sure they were, you know, had the highest level of safety going. But I just thought, why would I chance it? Why would I chance it? So I thanked them so much for calling me and wished them well. And the second I hung up, I said I did the right thing.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? And, you know, I'm going to tell you something that I want to get life insurance. My other one expired, and they were going to charge me, like, triple the amount of money, right? Okay. Well, okay, I said, fine and dandy. I've been with you since I was probably in my 30s, but that's okay. Shop around, so I had this lady looking for me. Well, they wanted to send out a nurse to take my vitals and a urine specimen. Well, I postponed it once because I just had this feeling. This was 3 weeks ago now, and she was supposed to come this Saturday, and I scheduled it yesterday, and I got up this morning, I said, I'm not going to do this right now. I'm just not going to do it, and I talked to my son, and he said, well, if you're uncomfortable with it, don't. Well, she's got a shield and gloves and blah, blah, blah. He said, but mother, where is she coming from? What person is she coming from? And I said, well, I don't know. And he said, Mother, you're so good with everything that I hear. I'm clairaudient and all of that. What do you get? I said, I get that when I'm done talking to you, I'm going to postpone it again.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl on the phone, she said, you know, I don't blame you. And I said, you shouldn't even be doing these right now. I mean, you know, yeah, life insurance is important, but I'm just going to put the money in the bank for right now, in my savings. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because it will expire on April 18th. So,
well, I'll tell you, more people think like us, we're going to get a handle on this tragedy.
Yes, exactly.
If more people take it that seriously, that's what we need, is stay away from everybody.
Exactly.
And
that's what I just
said,
that,
you know,
on the air.
Turn around.
You know,
yeah.
Just stay in the house. Stay home.
Yep. Yep.
I could get something tomorrow, of course, but I've not been around anybody, gone anywhere. Now, my neighbor brought me some, what did she bring me? Pound cake. And she had it wrapped up in aluminum foil. And she handed it to me. And I put it down. What I did is I undid it, and I washed my hands, and then I went and put it into something else. I mean, I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that she has anything wrong, but she's got family, and I don't know where
mm-hmm.
they've been. And
mm-hmm.
my son, he gets my groceries, right? I mean, it's a hoot. Comes in with these bags, you know, and first thing he brought to me was cat litter. I get all these bags of it. It's got, it's Fresh Step, and it's got individual bags. So it's perfect for me because I can lift them up. And he slid it into the kitchen, and I said, okay. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, it's got plastic on it, right? And he said, yeah. I said, well, I'm going to cut that plastic off because he had come from the store. And I said, because you touched it. And, I mean, he's been over here maybe once a week or so. And that's exactly what I did. I'm just being careful. I don't want to be one of those.
And if we all do that, we've got a better chance of just getting on top of this and, you know, at
and
some
it's
point
for everybody that you're doing it.
Together.
It's for everybody. You've got to do it for everybody. And, you know, we have beaches here like you did too. You have beaches. Okay. Well, they were all up and down the beaches last weekend, like it was, it was spring break. So like there was no tomorrow. All these kids are running all over the place. I'm looking on TV and I'm thinking, what are you hearing? What about this don't you understand? Because they were saying young people couldn't get it. Well, young people can. There was a 8-year-old, I think, and a 13-year-old, something. There was one, somebody, I think, in South Carolina, I'm pretty sure, that got it. Now, most of them have underlying conditions. You know, one little girl had diabetes, and there are things beneath the surface that will make you kind of predisposed. But I'll tell you something, Mary. Back in 1982, I got a virus. It was called a systemic virus, but it attacked my liver. I could not stand. I was just wiped out. And you know what they gave me? Gamma globulin injections and vitamin B12 plus iron injections every single day for weeks. Now, you know, he knew that he said, I want you to stay home. Well, I wasn't going to go anywhere. I mean, I didn't even watch TV. I laid on the bed and looked up at the ceiling. That's all I did because I was so, it just did a number on me. And it took quite a while for me to recover, but I did. I don't think I had a fever. No, I didn't have a fever. But things like that can happen to you. And, I mean, I had a visitation. I mean, I had either Jesus or God that came to me. And I that's how I was healed. I mean, the doctors 2 years later said we couldn't do anything for you. We figured you were going to die.
Mm.
Because all you have to do is get a bout of pneumonia, and it's going to do you in. Because your body can't fight anything.
Yeah.
You've got this virus throughout your body. And I just know that we're going to come through this. I think there's going to be something that they're going to uncover, and it's going to work, and it's not going to be all complex, and it's going to be easy to reproduce. But if everybody would just stay inside, you'd make Mary happy, and you'd make me happy, right?
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely.
You know, and
it's a small price to pay.
Well, it is. And think about your mothers and your fathers and your grandparents and brothers and sisters and friends. Just think about everybody and theirs and theirs and theirs. It's like a domino effect, and we mustn't let that happen. I mean, I could go on my podium and talk to everybody and tell them, this is what you're going to do. See, that's what I think should be done with every state. Everybody's staying in. That's it. Unless you go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. pharmacy, or you have an appointment at the doctor's, an emergency, a necessity. I understand that, but everybody else needs to stay home.
Right.
That's what I would do if I was president.
I know.
You're staying home. I'm sorry. You're staying home. I'm doing this for your own good because I know this is the way we're going to do it. I was reading about the Spanish flu, and that took about a year and a half.
Oh, I didn't know. That's interesting. I didn't know how long it took.
Yes. I mean, right. But I'm on my computer all the time, so I'm forever investigating stuff. How do you do this and how do you do that? And, okay, I can do that. And a year and a half. And I don't know how many millions it took. I don't have the number in my head. But some things I can remember and some things I choose not to, I think. But
right.
They did it. They didn't have a vaccine. They did it by everybody staying away from everybody.
Right.
And we are supposed to learn from the past. And
right.
Like I said, if I could be on the air, that's what I'd say to everybody. You are all staying home. I'm sorry. I know it sounds mean, but I'm doing it for all of you because I want you all to be safe, and that's the only way it's going to work.
Right.
So, and I say this when I talk to God every single morning, you've got to get us to do this or you've got to wipe this out totally because
mm-hmm.
people are not going to learn.
Right.
So that's my little theory that I have. And you're wonderful, Mary. I could talk hours to you.
Natalie, you're wonderful too. It's so nice of you to have me here today.
Oh, I was thrilled. Lauren wrote to me, and I think I did an excerpt last month, maybe it was last month, in my magazine, and I said, I want her. And
that
she wrote me
awesome.
Back, you do? I said, yes, I do. Go get her. I have a great rapport with all the publicists. Okay, you want this?
Yeah.
I have this man in the UK. I mean, talk about spoiling me rotten. Who do you want? I said, what do you mean, who do I want? If I send you something and you want them, you'll get them. I got three of them this week already. I'm booked till July.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but I love it. I thrive on it. I'm bringing all
yeah.
of you, all of the beautiful people, all of you who have your stories that you've written. Some write poetry. Some are motivational speakers. I have one. He's been on three times. I mean, I end up talking and laughing with him, and we don't do anything motivational. He says, I don't need to motivate you. And I said, well, one day maybe you will. No. I don't have to motivate Natalie, he said. You get on. You're like me. You step in different shoes. I would never know if something's going on with you. And I said, well, good. You know. But,
yeah.
And now tell me something before we go. Are you going to write another book?
Well, I actually spoke to both of my sons, and toward the end of my book I wrote in that if you feel like my two sons David and Matthew were underrepresented in the book, it was on purpose. And they weren't really underrepresented, but I didn't feel their story was my story to tell.
Right.
And I think part of the power of this book for me is that I'm finally telling it the way I lived it and the way I saw it, and something about that feels good. So I told both of them, I said, I wrote about the things I observed in the two of you, but this would be a perfect sequel, how I saw it. And
mm-hmm.
we agreed, but I would just love to, for one of them to have that opportunity to say it point of view. It would be amazingly interesting. It would be so interesting. So you might be seeing something again, and who knows, when my mind clears from this wonderful adventure I've been on.
Well, I like to put a little hint in somebody's
else.
Head. I'm encouraging you.
Thank you.
I don't say this to everybody, but I just think you should carry this on. Now, what do both of the sons do? What kind of work do they do?
One of them works for Costco. You have Costco,
okay.
Don't you? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And the
yes.
other one has a law practice.
Oh, okay.
He does business law. Yeah, and estate planning. He started with estate planning and does business law now with buying and selling dental and medical offices. And, boy, both of them are hard workers.
I wonder why.
Yeah, that kind of runs in the gene pool, right?
Yeah, you know, like my son is a math whiz. He didn't get that from me. He probably got that from his father. But from me, he got his sensitivity and his ability to love and to show it easily, and he's the kindest man. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better son. He's very protective of me, and I'm going to tell you this little story. We were sitting one day, and I said, you know, I'm going to ask you something. If I ever found somebody or they found me, and he looked over at me, he says, why, has somebody been talking to you? Right, like that. I mean, he right away got a little briskly, you know, like, oh, somebody talking to my mother? And I said, no, I just want to know. And he said, well, if it became serious, he said, I have a few questions for him. I'm sitting there laughing. This is how protective he is. First of all, how much money do you make? Because he knows I was not treated well. And then they tell him, okay. And there's another thing. You have to treat my mother like a princess, like she's made out of gold, and you will never, ever hurt her. Because if you do, I will come after you.
Well,
and he,
that's and, nice to know for the new man.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. But we talk about things like that. I just, you know, it's kind of, I mean, he's just, I'm just so blessed. I said, if I could find a man like you, I would have it made. He said, really? I said, oh, yeah. Oh,
aww.
The love he gives to his wife and his daughter. And I can see a lot of myself in him, and he's so caring. We go in the grocery store, we end up helping everybody in the store. He's just like I am, just very giving, and so it's a nice trait to have. Not all children are like that. Not all children are like that, but we've been blessed, Mary. We have.
Yes, we have.
And you need to write the next book so that I can bring you back on the show.
And I say thank you so much for the encouragement, and I'll come back in a minute.
I know you will. I'll tell Lauren, be ready. No, new book
okay.
is coming. But don't take as long this time now, you know? I mean,
no.
let's whip this into shape here quickly so that we can do this again, because I'm sure all the listeners, they loved hearing from you and your story, and we ended it on a positive note, even though, you know, things happen and you have to let everybody, it happens to everybody. You're not kidding. You're not removed from anything. You will experience it, and hopefully you'll be able to walk through the fire, as they say, and walk into, and go look at Mary's book, Six Funerals and a Wedding. Go look at her book, and you're going to see exactly what I saw. It's the future.
Thank you, Natalie.
It's the future for you. Oh, you're welcome. I just love you. So, with that, I'm going to say good night, and you're going to love this, how I end my show. I have a lady listening, and she's probably going to give me thumbs up because she loves to hear me. Last week, I didn't have a guest because she got sick, so I had to talk for 35 minutes. But you know that wasn't a problem for me. I was able to do it easily. But anyways, I'm going to end the show next week, of course, same time, same station, 8 to 9. Go look at the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com. And go to starswithaz.psychics.com and enjoy the site. And I also have planetstarswithaz.com. And that is like the hub of everything. The Akashic Bookstore is there. You can reach all the sites there. That was done beautifully by Tony, my webmaster of 9 years. He's just a gem. I'm just lucky. He puts up with me. He said, you know what, I can't even keep up with you. And I said, well, don't try. Then you don't have to worry about keeping up with me.
That's
what he told his fiance. He said, "Boy, there's going to have to be somebody special come in her life, and he's going to have to be able to keep up with her." That's the nicest compliment that I could get, right? I go at work
so
with you.
Nice.
But anyways, okay, Mary, have a good evening. I know it's still early for you, right? What is it, like 6 o'clock there?
Just about, yeah, a little after 6, yeah.
Enjoy your evening. You're a beautiful lady. I love you.
Thank you,
and
Natalie,
to everybody out there.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And, you know, I say that after every show, and I really mean it. And I'm going to play this music. It's called Free to Love. This is Candy's favorite. Well, she always likes me. She just thanked us. She says, thank you both for sharing this time. She's just a gem. I mean, I give her stuff, and she's got magic fingers, and she runs with it, you know. But I'm going to play this music. It's called Free to Love. And I hope you enjoy it. And we'll see you next week. Mary, thank you again. I just love you.
Thank you. Take good care.
I will. You too. Be safe now.
I will. I will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all.